little sermon. I don't expect it to last more than 58, 59 minutes. Thank you for laughing. I'm really not that serious about that. But anyway, the sermon tonight is called Bethlehem, the House of Bread. And that is the literal meaning of the name Bethlehem, House of Bread. Genesis 35, 15 through 20. And God and spake, I can't read. Number one, I can't make announcements. This morning, while Johnny was up here doing a splendid job making announcements, I was in the back messing up everything I said. I was referring to a normal Wednesday night service on the 31st of this month. But Tuesday, we're having a special devotional, and all classes will meet here in the auditorium. So now I've got that straight. So Tuesday, two nights from now, we will all meet in the auditorium, and we will have a special midweek devotional, and we will sing some songs, and we will read scripture, and we will have prayer and some devotional thoughts, and then we'll go home. But the following Wednesday, the 31st, we will have a normal Wednesday night service, and then we will have a New Year's party in the back. So bring you goodies and bring you games from home, and we'll have us a grand old time. We'll sing a while, we'll play a while, we'll pray a while, and then we'll welcome the new year in, those that are interested in doing that. So that is a corrected announcement from this morning. Now let me try this scripture again. Paul, you sang the song well. If I can just read the scripture, now we'll do all right. Genesis 35, 15 through 20. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke to him Bethel. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." And it was so, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar of stone, a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Genesis 35 is the first mention of Bethlehem in the Bible. First time this city is mentioned, and its name means house of bread. Now, this could mean a place where one comes to eat when one gets hungry. It could mean a place of supply for the hungry, as Isaiah 58 would point out. Historically, Bethlehem is just such a place. It's a small town located about 5 miles south of Jerusalem, about as far as our church building is from downtown Athens, okay? So that's about how far Bethlehem was from Jerusalem. But you couldn't see the city from either city from one or the other. Bethlehem is located up on a mountaintop, but it's across the mountain. It's on slightly on the other side of the mountain from Jerusalem. So there's no way to see the two cities. One can't see the other in either direction. The Philistines had a garrison there when they took over that region of the country while David was king. And of course, it's no wonder, because it's a good place to hold out. It's a good place to have an army to be able to hold out against a siege. To the east of Bethlehem, the land drops quickly down to the Dead Sea. To the west, there's a slightly milder drop to the plain of Philistia. Those slopes were known for terraced gardens back in the day. Normally, Bethlehem was a fairly small town, but it's a very famous town, as we all know. And yet, it was not always that famous. Bethlehem can be known as a place of weeping, the place where Rachel died. Rachel was the favorite wife of Jacob. He's the woman that Jacob saw at coming to feed the animals, and he was smitten by her and found out that this was Laban's daughter, and he made the arrangement. I want this woman to be my wife. And he ends up getting Leah. And then, of course, you know the story of Jacob, how that both handmaidens were given to him, and all the, the children of Jacob. We talked about this last week. But Rachel passes, giving birth to the final child, Benjamin. She passes, and this is the place where she was when she died, and this is where Jacob buried her. But we read later in Matthew 2 the weeping of Rachel. It's a place of weeping. They wept over Rachel when she died. And then we read in Matthew 2 of Rachel weeping at the death of the children that we discussed last week about Herod slaughtering the innocents, 2 years and under. Every male child, 2 years old and under, in Bethlehem was put to death because of his fear that his heirs might not inherit the throne, that some upstart would take the throne. And so he was determined to end this. And the Bible describes the weeping of Rachel, her weeping in Matthew 2, 16 through 18. And that prophecy is from Jeremiah 31, but it also gives a place of hope. Bethlehem is a place of hope in spite of the weeping. It says, "Thus says the Lord, the voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children, because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border." There is hope in your future. That's very prophetic. In Bethlehem, there was going to be a future. So there was hope even in the midst of the weeping. And then, of course, we know because of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, we know that Bethlehem is where he was born, and our Lord is the hope for Bethlehem and the world. There is hope in your future. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is the hope for Bethlehem and for all of us and for the whole world. Bethlehem was a place of weeping. Bethlehem was also a place of blessing. You know the story of Ruth? It's a beautiful story, a love story that could rival anything ever seen on television or read in any book written by man. It was a place of blessing. Naomi was from Bethlehem. She was married. Her husband was from Bethlehem. His family was there. They had two children, two sons. They moved to the land of Moab along with their two sons, and they dwelt there for many years. Her husband died. Her two sons married daughters of Moab, two women of the nation of Moab. And one of those was Ruth. Well, as time passed, her two sons died. She left Bethlehem a rich woman, husband, two sons, wealth, and she lost everything. And she finally said, "I'm going home. There's no reason for me to remain here." And she says to her two daughters-in-law, she kissed them, and she said, "Go back to your home. Go back to your family. There's nothing for me. I am all dried up. There will be no more sons for you. Go back to your homes." And the one daughter-in-law kissed her and wept with her, and she went home. But Ruth would not leave. Ruth stayed with her, determined to go with her. And the words of Ruth are very, very famous. They're found in Ruth 1, verses 16, 17. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Words of love have never been spoken that were any sweeter, any truer than that. Words like this could be spoken and should be spoken by a husband to his wife and a wife to her husband, of commitment, of dedication to staying with the one that you care about. And so this was a place of loss For everything Naomi had, she lost. And yet Ruth stayed with her. And they went home. And Naomi wouldn't even have let them. When she got home, they rejoiced that Naomi was back. And she said, "Don't call me Naomi. My name is Myra. For I have lost my world. I've lost everything. You call me Myra." But Ruth was there. They were very poor. Ruth is going out to glean in the barley harvest. And Boaz sees her. And he is smitten by her, just like Jacob was smitten by Rachel. And Boaz inquires about her, finds out who she is, tells his servants, you deal with her well. And you don't let any harm come to her. In fact, I want you to drop some extra sheaves of barley along the way so she can take more home to her mother-in-law. And Boaz was a kinsman, a distant kinsman of Naomi's husband. And so he made it a point to redeem the land that her family had lost. When her husband left Bethlehem, he lost the land that his family inheritance was. Boaz redeemed it for her, got the land back for her, and paid the price out of his own purse. His love for Ruth grew and flourished, and ultimately they married, and they had a son. His name was Obed. He was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. The blessing for Ruth was found in Bethlehem. Jesus makes us sons and daughters. He redeems us. He gives us a blessing. He brings us into the family. He makes us belong. Just like Boaz made Ruth belong and gave her a place. She's a foreigner. She's from Moab. But she's in the lineage of Christ. And He gave her a place and helped her belong. And Jesus does the same thing for us. In John 1, verse 10 through 12, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Yes, Bethlehem was a place of blessing. It's also known as a place of anointing. A king was chosen there. A very unsuspecting, unassuming man, young man, chosen to be king. A big surprise of the house of Jesse. Fine young men, strapping young men that could be competitors for Saul, who was the fallen king. But God had sent the prophet to appoint a new king. "Is this all your children?" "No. I got one more tending the sheep." "Send for him." They waited. He comes. It's David. King is chosen there. There was also the promise of a seed from Bethlehem. In 2 Samuel 7, verses 8 through 13, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now, it would be easy for us to look at this passage, to look at this passage and conclude, "Wow, this is talking about my sons and my grandsons and my great-grandsons." Oh, but this is a prophecy of the Lord, isn't it? A prophecy of the Lord. Jesus, the son of David, was indeed promised. And he was promised in Matthew 1:1 and in Luke 1:31-32, he was promised the son of David would come and he would be born in Bethlehem. God's choice today is us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things that are despised, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." David would certainly not be anybody's choice for king, but God chose him. He anointed him. And do you know what God has done for you and me? Because we certainly would not be, let's look at us, okay? We may be fairly nice people, but let's face it, what do we contribute to God? How do we improve the kingdom of God? I mean, let's face it. Let's just be real about ourselves. What do we bring to the table? Not much. Not much. And yet God has still chosen us, and He uses us to do great things in His kingdom. He has anointed us with the blood of His Son. He has chosen us as His sons and His daughters. Thank God that He has made that choice for us. Bethlehem is known as a place of anointing. We are God's anointed today, chosen by Him to be His children by faith in His Son. Bethlehem is a place of refreshment. Time went by. David has been king for some time, and there are wars that have to be fought. And David was known as the warrior king. What was it said about David even while Saul was still king? Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. That's right. So he is a warrior king. He is, and he leads the army into battle on many, many occasions. Well, here's one time when Israel is being beaten, and the Philistines have them at bay, and they have garrisoned their army in the city of Bethlehem. And David is just longing. He's just reminiscing. You know how we long for the glory days, and we long for the way things used to be? You know, a lot of y'all remember when this church was right at 300. A lot of y'all remember that. Oh, the glory days, the way things used to be. Why can't we go back? And so David is reminiscing about this, and he makes an empty statement, just a casual statement. Oh, I long for a drink of cool water from the well in Bethlehem. I long for that. This is 2 Samuel 23. He says, I long for that. Well, three of his bravest soldiers heard the king say this, and they took off to Bethlehem. And they fought their way through these Philistines. The Bible says they broke through the camp and went to the well at the gate and drew water out of that well. And they fought their way back, and they brought the water to King David. And David wept. And he poured the water out as a drink offering to the Lord. He says, I cannot drink this water that the blood of these men, the risk that they took to do something for me, an idle thing that I spoke, and they would do this. I give glory to God for this. And he poured out the drink offering. Well, as time went by, they were able to take Bethlehem back, drive the Philistines out. You know, the day was saved, the city was saved, but that is a significant event. Jesus, indeed, who came from Bethlehem, is the source of living water. David longed for that sweet water of the well of Bethlehem. Jesus is the one who gives us living water. He says to the woman at Sychar at the well in John chapter 4. In speaking to this woman, he describes himself as the one who gives living water. And if we drink of the water that he will give, we will never thirst again. So Bethlehem indeed was a place of refreshment. And finally tonight, Bethlehem is a place of salvation. A place of salvation. First of all, it's a place of taxation. It's a place where the world in that area went to be taxed, that region of the world. Luke 2, verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. They went there to be taxed. That's why they showed up. They were at Nazareth. Joseph had his carpentry business at Nazareth. That was home. That's where he was going to live. That was where his family was. But he was originally from Bethlehem. So he had to go back to his hometown for the census and to be taxed. And then we find not only is Bethlehem the place of taxation, but it is the place where our Savior was born. Verse 7, continuing, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Bethlehem is a place of salvation. For our Lord was born there to begin His earthly journey, His journey as a human. That journey which culminated on the cross and brought about the salvation, the offer of salvation for the whole world. And Jesus indeed is the Savior of the world. When the woman at the well went back to Sychar and she asked the question, could this be the Christ, this the man who's told me all things I've ever done? Could this be Him? And the whole city gets up and goes out to see who this could be at the well, just in the off chance that this might be the Christ. They were looking for Him too. And here's what they said to the woman in John 4, verse 42. After they heard Jesus speak to them, they said to the woman, Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a place of salvation, a place of refreshment, a place of anointing, a place of blessing, also a place of weeping. Oh, Bethlehem, so small and still, the place where Rachel died, the place where infants' lives were lost, the place where her spirit cried. It was you who saw Naomi's return when all her hope was gone. And there, dear Ruth met her true love and made a family of her own. It was here that a new king was made, a shepherd boy, they tell. And here his battle-weary thirst cried out for water from your well. Oh, Bethlehem, your greatest day came one bright starlit night when Mary had her firstborn son. Our God, our Lord, our Christ. God's invitation is open to you. Jesus came and died to save us from sin. And so God's invitation is open for you. Jesus came to save us all. Will you let Him be your Savior tonight? Will you answer the gospel call? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.